sort of by default, I'll call this meeting to order. And we're going to move, switch the order a little bit because we don't have the necessary quorum for a work session, but we'll move to public hearing, which is on House Bill 1519, Department of Forestry. But before we do that, does staff have anything they want to say?
Good morning, Chair Hansel. Members of the subcommittee. Today's presentation by Oregon Department of Forestry is their phase two of their budget hearing. They're going to discuss their policy option packages to begin with and then move into key performance measures. It's doubtful that we're going to get to the key performance measure section today, but they'll do policy option packages today and then see how far we can get and then probably finish up with those and then key performance measures tomorrow.
Okay. Mr. Decker, if you'd like to come forward with whoever and begin.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair Hansel and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Doug Decker, Oregon State Forester, Director of the Department of Forestry. And we recognize that as the quorum shifts here, if you wish to take Mary and other business, we'll certainly step down.
I think we'll probably plan to do that.
At your call.
So that we can do that.
Okay. So really pleased to be back before you this morning with our ODF executives here that you'll be hearing from this morning for phase two of our budget presentation. This time we're focusing specifically your request on our policy option packages. I'm going to start this morning with a little bit of context about how we've developed the policy option packages and connect them with the board and agency strategic priorities. And then each division chief will walk us through the packages themselves. They'll focus in on the key elements, the needs that are addressed by each package, and then the consequence and trade-offs associated with each investment. And so you'll recall from phase one that our primary mission as an agency is to serve the people of Oregon by protecting, managing, and promoting stewardship of Oregon's forests to enhance environmental, economic, and community sustainability. If you boil that all down, that means that our job is to keep forests healthy and to keep them working. And in order to do that, we believe that public investment in forests and in ODF is critical. During phase one, we walked through the particulars of that, what that looks like in 15-17, including how Oregon's unique partnership matches general fund with a variety of landowner assessments to help support our fire business and our forest practices program. We covered how we bring in federal funds to help in several ways, and we generate our own other funds from the harvest of state timber. So each time we go through each, as we get ready for each budget cycle, we work real closely with our Board of Forestry and with our stakeholders, and we go through a process of identifying key strategic emphases that connect our budget with board priorities and agency priorities, as well as with emerging policy issues and needs that we identify. And we get after these priorities and issues with our policy option packages, or our POPs. In 2011, our primary focus was on restoring our private forest program, and we were able to working with you, we were able to bring in some additional capacity to help us administer the Forest Practices Act. Last time around, our primary focus was the Wildfire Protection Act, very timely, in 2013 to be able to get that in place. And so the budget that you have before you right now in this cycle, our primary strategic focus is really on bridging our state forest program through a challenging time in the revenue department and also rebuilding our business and administrative capacity that's necessary to support the programs that run our agency. So you're going to hear these loud and clear in our presentation this morning. There's multiple packages that target these top priorities. You'll also hear the other themes that connect with the issues that we shared with you during phase one, fire protection, capacity around water quality and quantity, and forest practices administration, development of biomass markets, increasing the pay scale and quality of restoration work on federal forest lands. So we've prepared the POPs that you'll see this morning in conversation with the Board of Forestry and with our stakeholders. We believe that each POP that we'll be describing here is a worthy and worthwhile investment that advances the cause of healthy working forests. We also recognize that, you know, we operate in a large system. There are priorities that need to be made, and we recognize that. So our board has approved these POPs. The governor's office has put them in the governor's budget, and I know that you've heard from many stakeholders in writing and in testimony on our budget bill about these POPs as well. So today and tomorrow, we're basically here to kind of make the case, walk through them, answer your questions about the POPs, and recognize that that there are priority decisions that need to be made. So the first four POPs that we're going to talk about have to do with fire. And Travis Medema, the Chief of Fire Protection, is here and will walk us through these POPs. And I think he's going to start out with, as if to underscore the importance of our fire POPs, we actually have some fire activity this morning, and I think Travis is prepared to give you an update on what's happening this morning down in Southern Oregon.
Good morning, Chair Hansel, members of the committee. Pleasure and honor to be here with you today. For the record, my name's Travis Medema, and I'm the division chief for the Fire Protection Division. I'll work in the fire piece towards the very end of this and give you a little update as to what happened last night and going on this morning. I want to start off with package 110 first. This is a severity program package, and this is a really critical package for the department and fundamentally accomplishes two things. The first really key component within the special purpose appropriation is that it allows us to contract through availability and procure aircraft before we get into fire season. And what it allows for is 16 aircraft that we're able to put on contract and have available. You heard in our budget presentation, I gave a story from Northeast Oregon, how vital and critical these resources were and what a huge support they are. It funds 8 helicopters, 6 single engine and large air tankers, and then an additional 2 aircraft that we use to seek out fires at the smallest possible size. It also provides for some funding for us to move ground-based assets around, whether it's engines or heavy equipment, and we pre-position those out in front of lightning storms. And again, this is really targeted and geared towards statewide resources that are highly mobile, that are really targeted to catch fires when they're extremely small to limit the cost and the damage, and has proven to be very successful. What's in this policy option package is $4 million, $2 million annually, that we use to leverage another $3 million annually of landowner funds through the Oregon Forest Land Protection Fund for an annual amount of $5 million. And that $5 million in totality is the amount that we have for severity resources, and extremely important. So that's the first component of what's in the special purpose appropriation and what we're asking for. The second piece that's also extremely important is that 1 year of the state share for the insurance policy is also located in the special purpose appropriation. As you know, this year that cost was $3.8 million for the insurance policy, and that framework is a $50 million deductible with a $25 million policy through Lloyd's of London. When we built this, we weren't sure of the cost, and as we look forward into the next biennium, you know, those costs may change a little bit, but we've included the amount based off of what was the cost for this year's insurance policy. And so if you take this year's cost for the insurance policy and roll it forward into next biennium, we would need $5.9 million in the special purpose appropriation to pay for the severity resources and the insurance policy. Again, this package is absolutely critical to the department as we face yet another potential very challenging 2015 fire season. The extended drought that we talked about during our budget presentation continues to worsen and does not appear to be improving. The latest fire season severity outlook was produced on May 1st, and that picture got even worse. It shows the entire state of Oregon as we get into July and August at high risk for potential catastrophic fires. The piece of that that's eerily similar to 2013 is last night we had a fire down in Southern Oregon outside of Douglas or Roseburg in our Douglas Forest Protective Association. This morning it was 100 acres, and they expect that it'll probably be about 150 before they're able to contain it. The eerie piece of that is that in 2013 we had a similar fire in the same location only a day later, so May 6th. So that had me pretty nervous last night. And again, as we look at trends, this package is absolutely critical to our success as we look at the severity of the fire season.
Mr. Travis, is that on private land or federal land? Or
Yeah, Chair Hansel, Senator Denbro, it is. It's on private land, industrial timber ground. We also had another smaller fire out of Veneta Western Lane that was 5 acres, again, on private industrial timber ground. I'd close.
Yes, Senator Hansel.
This may not be the right question place to answer this, but we're talking about private public ownership. One of the questions I had when you were here before was the issue of perhaps a dual assessment, where if you were a part of a private, and I'd like to ask, you were working on that. I'd like a report back at some point. May not be appropriate right now, but if we've come to some type of solution to that.
So we are, or Senator Hansel, we are working on that, and we can get back with you as to, you know, what that looks like. And as I remember the question, it related to risk.
Is that 3213, I think?
Oh, 3213.
Right. Yeah. We'll follow up with you on the status of that and where those conversations went.
Okay. Thanks.
So to close out on severity package 110, there's broad-based support for this package from the governor's office and then also from our landowner partners as they're a key integral piece in helping fund this package. Yep. So the next package is package 113. And this is non-limited other funds authorization. And the concept of this package really came out of the last two fire seasons. As you all are acutely aware, $200 million spent in the last two fire seasons, $122 million in 2013, $75 million in 2014. The department had some significant challenges with assuring that we could make the payments necessary to our vendors in a timely fashion due to shortages in both cash flow and then also authorization. This package during the challenging years would allow the department to continue to make payments on the authorization side, would allow us to have that in a timely manner and assure that we can keep business continuity and our business practices in place. This package allows for the department to fiscally continue operating from an authorization standpoint when we have to access loans and lines of credit, which we've had to do the last 2 years to pay fire bills, allowing us to really maintain the relationships that we have with those vendors, private contractors, and other governmental agencies and states. It's a key piece as we have, you know, thousands of private contractors out there working. Obviously, they're putting in a lot of work, doing a great job, and we want to make sure that they get paid in a timely manner, and authorization can be a challenge with that. Again, this package is supported by the governor's office and our landowner partners. Okay. The third package is package 119, and this is really about Rangeland Fire Protection Associations. As you all recall, we spent some time chatting about this during our main budget presentation about what Rangeland Fire Protections are and what they do. This is a 50-year-plus program, and has really significantly grown in the last 10 years. We now have 20 Rangeland Fire Protections Associations across the state. They're predominantly located in Southeast Oregon, and the concept behind Rangeland Fire Protection Associations are really about neighbors helping neighbors. These associations have very limited funding. The Board of Forestry is the creator of Rangeland Fire Protection Associations, and the Department of Forestry has played a significant role in helping them be successful. These efforts from the department have been predominantly funded through federal funds and federal grants, which are declining and or need to go to other high priority projects and items within the department. One of the limiting factors for these small Rangeland Fire Protection Associations is support, really, in terms of accessing federal excess property equipment, training, and then also coordination. And that coordination happens locally, but especially when they have large catastrophic fires. This package would help meet those needs by providing for one rangeland coordinator. It's one person that works with all 20 of those associations, and an administrative support person to help support them in some of their financial businesses, whether it's insurance, filling out the correct paperwork, and really help support them getting that key work done. Additionally, it would fund a part-time person, and this part-time individual, the real gist of their work would be helping refurbish this federal excess property that comes in. So it's usually run-down equipment or excess property equipment and needs some work. And that's really the main bulk of their initial attack forces are these excess federal property. And so this individual would help refurbish that and make sure that it was in service ready to go. As with the next package, which will be the last one, I just want to highlight the positive impacts that it would have to protecting greater sage grouse. The largest threat to the sage grouse is habitat, and that's loss of habitat through wildfire. And this package, along with the next one, is supported by the counties, the governor's office, the Rangeland Fire Protection Association, and the landowners. And these Rangeland Fire Protection Associations are really the first line of defense when it comes to wildfires. And this package will help organize them better and really help out when there's large catastrophic fires in southeast Oregon. The last one that I have is Package 120, and that's in addition to Package 119. And this really is a package that would help those Rangeland Fire Protection Associations get the necessary equipment with the goal of preventing and suppressing fires. The ask is for $1.2 million. That's $600,000 per fiscal year or per fire season for those Rangeland Fire Protection Associations. And the plan is the monies would be passed to the counties where those rangeland RPAs are located to allocate resources when fires break out and for any type of preventative activities that may be done before fire season. The dollar allocations would be weighted heavier to counties that have the largest sage-grouse habitat, i.e., again, you know, largest threat is that habitat, and this would help protect that. The concept is similar to the department's special purpose appropriation, the first package I talked about, in that those dollars are identified up front for the purpose of keeping fires small, ultimately reducing the loss, especially in key sage-grouse habitat. I'd also add that, you know, this package would really help support local rural economies and minimize the impacts of large catastrophic rangeland fires to rural Oregon. We've seen that over the last 2 or 3 years. Very significant fires, over 1 million acres burned in 2013 in the rangelands. And with that, Mr. Chair, I'd be glad to entertain any questions.
Okay. Any questions from the committee? Okay. Thank you very much. Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Very good. We'll move forward here. Our next policy option package that we'll talk about is the federal forest POP. This continues work with collaboratives as well as with the United States Forest Service on increasing management activity on federal forest lands. On the east side, it actually brings the work that's been done on the east side over over to the west side as well. Chad Davis, our federal forest coordinator, is going to walk us through this policy option package.
Thanks. Chair Devlin, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Chad Davis. I'm a policy analyst with the Department of Forestry, and as State Forester Decker mentioned, I've had the fortune to be the program coordinator for this federal forest health work that we've been doing. In the 2013-15 biennium, the legislature took an innovative step to catalyze the pace and scale of management on Oregon's national forest. As we discussed with this subcommittee a few weeks back, we are seeing some tangible results of that work. Just to highlight a few, the Forest Service is planning much larger projects, particularly in the Blue Mountain region, and building on increased collaborative agreement. Both business activity and jobs have increased by 35% and 16% respectively. And the amount of timber sold annually has increased by 12% in the Blue Mountain region and has tripled, actually, on the Mount Huron National Forest, centered there around John Day. This budget request in 15-17 will build on that unique investment that the state of Oregon has made. Folks often ask me, what is the case for states for the state to invest? And I refer to three kind of enabling conditions. The first is collaborative success. Many Oregonians don't recognize that three national forests in the state are entering their eighth year without litigation on forest management projects. And I can assure you that our western state colleagues are very envious of that Oregon asset. We also have a good track record of cooperation among the Federal Forest Work Group. This work group grew out of a 2009 effort by the Board of Forestry and is convened currently by the Governor's Natural Resource Office. It includes state agencies, the Forest Service, the Nature Conservancy, Sustainable Northwest, the American Forest Resource Council, local collaboratives, and others. This forum actually helped identify and place the first use of state's funds, which was actually Governor's Strategic Reserve funds, to move a timber sale forward on the Mount Huron National Forest back in 2011. The second enabling condition is Oregon's ability to leverage additional federal dollars. Oregon is home to three collaborative forest landscape restoration projects, which were awarded through a national competition. Collectively, these projects bring in an additional $7 million of additional federal funds annually for implementing forest health treatments. And these funds are committed through 2020. State funds have and will be useful to increase agreement among these projects and actually to test new planning methods and efficiencies to get these projects at a larger scale. The third enabling condition are new tools that were provided in the 2014 Farm Bill. I'll spare you the wonky details here, and I'll leave it at saying that the new authorities both streamline process review and codify a partnership with states to implement forest health projects actually on the national forest. As you heard from Regional Forester Jim Pena, he's very eager to move boldly ahead with these news and tools in Oregon based on our demonstrated record of success. The next question folks generally ask is, so why are you increasing from 2.8 to 6.0 with this budget request? And I would say there's two main driving factors here. First, as State Forester Decker mentioned, we are proposing to go statewide with this package. The 13-15 program was focused only on our dry side forest, or primarily eastern Oregon. And although different and more regionalized in nature, there are both ecological and economic urgencies on the west sides of the Cascades as well. There are also active forest collaboratives on the west side that will benefit from additional capacity and science support funds that we will provide through contracts. And I want to be clear here, the program will look differently based on those differences in forest ecosystems and social license for particular management activities on the west side of the Cascades. The second driving factor is the ability and the opportunity to activate an implementation role for the state via the Good Neighbor Authority. The Good Neighbor Authority is one of those wonky policy things that I referred to that came about and was codified in the 2014 Farm Bill. It allows both the Secretary of Agriculture and the Secretary of Interior, so both the Forest Service and the BLM, authority to enter into agreements with states to implement forest health treatments. On the slide, you can see some additional FTEs this package will buy, and it is with this additional staff that ODF will operate our own crews and administer contracts with the private sector to implement treatments on the national forest. Roughly about two-thirds of the proposed package will be used to do two things: ramp up the work that we've been engaged in and doing on the east side, and determine our niche over what that would look like actually on the west side, just similarly to what we did in 13 and 15 on the east side. To close, and as you heard during our public testimony on our budget, there is a diverse cohort of support on funding on this funding request that includes the Association of Oregon Counties, a broad coalition of the business community, including members of the timber industry, and multiple conservation organizations. This is a leadership opportunity for Oregon. Other states, the U.S. Forest Service, and leaders within the Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C. are very eager to learn more about this program and are paying close attention to our unique partnership to increase the pace and scale of work on the national forest. They already refer to it as the Oregon model. We appreciate the opportunity to dive into a bit more detail with this, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chad. All right.
Oh, yes. Senator Hansel.
I appreciate the expansion of the model, but I hope we don't neglect the original model as we expand to other places, mm-hmm. since a lot of that's in my district.
Yeah. Senator Devlin and Senator Hansel, I appreciate that comment, and I think it's a very astute one, and it's not something that we intend to do.
Thank you.
Okay. The next seven policy option packages relate to restoring a decade of reductions to our business functions in the organization and administrative capacity, including HR and IT. And our Chief Financial Officer, Satish Upadhyaya, will take these next seven.
Good morning, Chair Devlin and members of the subcommittee. For the record, I'm Satish Upadhyaya, Chief Financial Officer for the Department of Forestry. I will start by talking about Package 502, Working Farms and Forests. Package 502 provides $300,000 of general fund to support the Working Farms and Forests Task Force created in Senate Bill 204-A. The funds are for contract work and for the Department of Justice support. The goal of this task force is to address challenges and opportunities related to the sustainability of working farm and forest lands in Oregon. This 11-member task force is broad-based and includes legislators, tribes, counties, agricultural and timber interests, and conservation interests with connections to working lands. So we'd be glad to answer any questions on this.
I have a question, Mr. Chair. Thanks. The $300,000 is needed to support the program, and most of that, it seems, for doing research related to it, no?
Mr. Chair, Senator General, most of it is for contract work as well as Department of Justice support.
Okay, so what will that mean in practice?
Mr. Chair, Senator General, we are still trying to figure that out. This is a package where there's been a lot of interest from different parties, including the legislature. So at this point, the reason the $300,000 is in our budget is because this dollars were put there for some federal forest work, contract work. So that's something that will be figured out.
Maybe just to add on, Chair Devlin, Senator Dimbro, there in the previous governor's administration, there was a significant push on this topic, and I think that these dollars were identified to facilitate the off-session work that would be required by this task force. And I think that we were one of a number of agencies that were involved in those discussions, and I think that this is kind of a legacy of that. Implementation of this, we would work closely with OEB and with the Governor's Natural Resource Office.
Right, and just to follow up, and there'll be similar money in their budgets for this, or it's all here?
I believe that the facilitation of and support of the task force, those dollars were placed in our budget, and that's what this represents. And I don't those other agencies do not have the support for the facilitation of the work group during the off session.
Mm-hmm. But Mr. Chair, other agencies have expressed full cooperation. This is Department of Agriculture, OEB, as well as DLCD, they've expressed full cooperation for the task force. Okay.
Representative Heck. Thank you, Co-Chair. This was originally, wasn't there about $30 million originally in this package? And then that's gone from an actual package now down to a task force. Is that correct?
Correct. That's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. That answered my question.
So moving along, the next one, now we'll move over to the other administration-related policy option packages. Package 101, State Forester's Office Building. This capital construction package provides $7 million through debt financing to restore the State Forester's Office Building. The building currently houses ODF executive leadership, Board of Forestry support, and other functions. And age and deferred maintenance threaten the building's integrity and prevent the use of some of the spaces to their full potential. Now, what this project will do, it will replace and modernize the existing building systems. It will also restore a historic building that exemplifies Oregon's deep connections to its forests. Now, the project will include the seismic retrofitting of the entire building, including the grand masonry chimney, modernizing the heating, ventilation, fire protection, plumbing, and other systems, incorporate modern energy conservation measures, and enhance the ADA accessibility throughout the building and increase usable workspace. I would like to tell you a little bit about this building. This is a 77-year-old building that was opened for business in 1938. And it's located in our headquarters. It is the agency's longest held and continuously occupied building. This building was constructed under the auspices of the Works Progress Administration and placed on the National Register of Historic Places in 1982. Designed by an architect who was also involved in the design of the Timberline Lodge, it's an exceptional expression of the National Park architectural style, second in Oregon only to Timberline Lodge. So what have we done so far to move this project forward? We have conducted professional surveys that have inventoried the building's structural, mechanical, workspace, accessibility, and historic recreational needs. This work was done in consultations with the City of Salem's Historic Landmarks Commission and the State Historic Preservation Office. Both have recommended strategies for balancing historic integrity with development of new building systems and compliance with modern code requirements. Now, let me touch a little bit on the cost issue. The estimated cost is $7 million, which would be debt financed. Of the $7 million, $5.1 million is for total hard construction costs. The remaining $1.9 million represents the soft costs, including construction contingency, permitting, design, scoping, etc. So the next steps, if the legislature were to approve this request, construction is projected to occur between July 2016 and March 2017. In closing, with regards to this package, as stated by State Forester Decker during our Phase 1 hearings, we have this down the street. You all are most welcome to drop by to see this historic facility by yourself. We'd be glad to show you around. So.
A couple of questions. One is that the department doesn't have any preference between certificates of participation and Q-bonds, correct?
Mr. Chair, we do not. That's something that's determined by the Department of Administrative Services.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to be issuing any COPs unless we absolutely have to. The second thing is, I think we've given a pretty clear indication that, with very limited exceptions, we're not going to issue any bonds early enough in the biennium to actually have debt service on those bonds. So how would that impact your current plans for the facility? Because I would think that you might have to be delaying the beginning of construction for to at least another season.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, again, we will proceed as directed by the legislature. The current plan is starting around July of 2016, but we are flexible enough.
Okay. And so the building is approximately the same age as the core of the Capitol building.
Yes, Mr. Chair. So.
In fact, our offices used to be located in the Capitol, and when you were burned out, we were burned out at the same time.
Okay. In fact, we still do have a piece of carpet from the state Capitol in one of our offices.
In current use.
One of the few remnants. Of
yes.
That's great.
Thank you. Yes.
And this may be a question more to you, Mr. Chairman, but would that construction, the $7 million, would that actually be in capital construction?
Yes.
Part of the consideration. So
yeah, it's on the list, I believe. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So moving along, the next package is package 180, procurement purchase order system. And this package provides $2.2 million to debt financing to enable the agency to replace the current antiquated payment system with a modern purchasing and procurement system. This would allow for control of purchasing processes from request to payment. The Secretary of State auditors have recommended several times that the agency have an integrated enterprise procurement purchase order system that will interface with our current accounting and procurement databases. If we continue to use this current system, there's risk that support may become unavailable for the outdated technology, that there is lack of internal controls to achieve a safe level of risk in procurements, and that the agency is unable to strategically plan procurements. We had submitted a similar package in 2013. However, DAS rolled out a project called ORPAN2, and we were directed to withdraw this package. So at this time, our request includes two limited duration positions for us to successfully undertake this project. And also, I would like to mention that this package is in alignment with the Enterprise Leadership Team's Improving Government Initiative. And also, there are 11 other state agencies that have expressed interest in looking into collaborating with us in using the system in the future. We are excited about this collaboration opportunity because of the significant benefits to ODF as well as to other agencies. Some of the major benefits would be a better product and reduce long-term costs because of economies of scale in purchasing and training.
Yes, Representative Hack.
Thank you, Co-Chair. I'm pleased to hear that there are 11 other agencies. I would hope that all of our agencies begin to move to the same type of systems. it's disheartening to me to hear that we operate on islands and every other department agency has different systems. I think it's critical that we begin to move to systems that everyone across the state, all state agencies, have the same systems that interface with each other. So I'm pleased to hear that you're working with others, and hopefully they'll join in on that. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative. So next package is package 181, Services and Supplies in Administration. So this package provides $269,117 general fund and $580,000 of other funds expenditure limitation for essential services and supplies budget in agency administration. Since 2001, 2003, budget reductions have continuously eroded services and supplies for administration. One example is no services and supplies funding was budgeted for some positions that were added. So currently, over 86% of the services and supplies budget for this program is, there's no other term I can think of, so I will say non-discretionary, and cannot be allocated elsewhere. So non-discretionary would be for charges like state government service charges, payment for IT professional services, those kinds of costs. So we have been forced to cut back on areas like training, office expenditures, and IT expenditures. So as a result, performance of core business functions in administration is being hindered and substantially delayed. Moving along, next package, agency administration, technical adjustments. This is a housekeeping cleanup package. We bring it every biennium. This package has two parts. First, it includes requests for reclassification of an existing natural resource specialist 3 position to a 4. This position, which is Forest Resource Planning Program, has been receiving work out of class since March 2014 based on the workload of this position. So the work out of class pay is being paid due to the existing responsibilities of the position. Another part of this package is correcting the funding sources for 3 other positions. The agency continues with its efforts to ensure that positions are accurately funded based on these functions. So that's why we are requesting this technical correction. Package 183, administrative capacity. This package establishes 5 positions to address workload needs related to human resources, procurement, facilities management, public affairs, and budget. So why are we requesting 5 positions? It's to correct an accumulation of inefficiencies and or insufficiencies which have grown to the point that have begun to cripple the administrative function of the department. In recent years, many changes have come due to outside influences such as changes in statutes, opinions handed down by the Secretary of State Audits Division, increased oversight by the legislature and DAS, changes in accounting methods, increased decentralization of DAS functions, among others. So these changes have increased the workload of the agency administration staff to the level where other equally important processes are being deferred to or not being done at all. This has brought about an increase in risk to the agency with the opportunity of there being fraud, waste and abuse, missed timelines, and ineffective use of the dollars. So. Now the last one that we have is IT restructure. This package reorganizes the IT program staffing structure by reclassifying 4 positions to enable the program to best meet the needs of the agency today. This reorganization also creates backup capacity in critical areas of support. It also helps with succession management in the IT program. Although the IT program support model has evolved over the time to meet the agency's changing needs, the program staffing structure has not. So this has led for several positions being paid work out of class and team lead assignments that are not built into position descriptions. So the purpose of this package is to rectify that situation. So with this, we are done with the 7 positions related to administration.
Any questions from the committee? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Satish. Just to follow up there, the administration has been a place that is, taken reduction over the last several biennium, and we've raised it up as a strategic emphasis for this cycle. The next 3 policy option packages relate to our private forest program and administration of the Forest Practices Act and development of biomass markets. And we've asked Private Forest Chief Peter Doherty to address these.
Good morning, Chair Devlin and members of the committee. For the record, I am Peter Doherty. I serve as a Private Forest Division Chief. As Doug mentioned, the Private Forest Division has 3 packages in the governor's budget. Package 151 would fund maintenance enhancements of our new online system for filing notices of forest operations, notifying the Department of Revenue for tax purposes, and for applying for permits to use power-driven equipment. The electronic notification system represents significant progress in modernizing administration of the Forest Practice Act. The governor's budget package of $682,000 would provide funding to maintain the system and further improve customer service and workflow. Subsequent to our budget hearing, the Legislative Fiscal Office asked us to submit an updated budget that included an enhancement package that would automate the subscription process. This updated request of $1.4 million was reviewed and conditionally approved by the Ways and Means Subcommittee on IT yesterday. I will be discussing the updated budget request. As you heard at our budget meeting, we continue to implement the findings from our review of efficiency and effectiveness in implementing the Forest Practice Act. We've made significant improvements in electronic processing of notifications and documenting field inspections. We launched our online system in October of 2014, and in December of 2014, we went live with a second phase that added the ability to do industrial fire inspections. All notifications are now submitted electronically, are geospatially referenced, and we've significantly reduced administrative workload. Improving, maintaining, and further automating the notification review and approval process remains a focus. We are currently testing the mobile application for Stewardship Foresters inspections, which is on track to go live at the end of this month. While e-notification has successfully improved our most basic business functions, there are still critical improvements needed to ensure we meet our legal requirements and have a firm foundation for further expansion. The updated budget request includes the following work. Improving customer and stewardship workflow is a priority for the next phase of development prior to adding new functionality such as automating our public subscriber process. Providing an easy-to-use reporting function for supervisors and stewardship foresters to track completions of operations and number of FPA and fire inspections completed. Improving the GIS system used for protected resource review and the new functionality, the addition of a public portal for subscriptions to notifications, will automate and provide needed efficiencies in our current paper-based process. Development ideas, including the ability for a customer to register in the system and then automatically receive electronic copies of notifications of forest operations near their home. This POP also establishes permanent maintenance funding for the system and funds one limited duration project manager to oversee the project.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
So, Peter, so under the proposed new system, will the public, if they want to subscribe, will they have to pay a fee?
We're not envisioning that there would be any cost. So if it's just, our kind of idea is if you register, enter your home address, then we can automate the process, and an automatic system would take over. So it would eliminate the mailing and the handling cost of that system.
Excellent. Thank you.
Moving on.
Yeah.
Package 152, the Biomass Leadership Plan, presents an opportunity for statewide investment to grow biomass and bioenergy markets. This package will foster new biomass projects and businesses across the state, creating rural jobs, improving forest health, expanding economic diversification, and improving rangeland health and sage-grouse habitat. Forest health is a statewide issue, and this investment focuses on building robust markets across the state for the byproducts of forest restorations, fuel reductions, and active management. The use of biomass lowers the cost of completing needed restoration treatments on federal land. ODF has a proven record of accomplishments in supporting biomass utilization. We provide technical assistance and federal grants to support biomass businesses, although these grants are currently limited to Northeast Oregon in bioenergy projects. The needs for funds outstrips the supply of available grants. ODF grant resources also get results. A $20,000 grant to the Integrated Biomass Resources in Wallala enabled that business to secure a $3.4 million loan for new equipment, add 15 new family wage jobs, and more than double its biomass use. Package 152 increases our capacity to support biomass in three ways. It provides $700,000 dedicated to a statewide biomass grant program to support biomass and juniper project development. Entrepreneurs are developing new uses for woody biomass and juniper. However, technical obstacles, lack of capital, and project development costs challenge their ability to establish businesses. The grant fund fosters entrepreneurship by supporting feasibility assessments and business planning to help business access capital for growth. These funds would fill a long-standing gap and leverage existing state tax incentives, loans, and federal grants. The requested funds would also support one additional biomass specialist to help rural communities, entrepreneurs, and intermediaries develop successful biomass businesses by delivering targeted technical assistance. The remaining funds would be used to develop statewide biomass supply information to inform market participants and decision makers about the impact of biomass use, the potential for growth, and statewide biomass resource availability. Questions?
Any questions? Thank you.
Great. Package 153 is a key component of the Governor's Clean Water Partnership. This package creates additional capacity to monitor and enforce rules and practices that protect water quality, particularly related to forest roads and landslide-prone terrain. The multi-agency Clean Water Partnership would provide new tools and resources to measure change in water qualities, identify trends, and align existing federal and state funding to prioritize water quality investments. The partnership also invests in forest and farmland water quality programs, including augmenting expertise in the Forest Practice Act. As you know, the department administers the Forest Practice Act, which protects natural resources during harvest and other operations, and which highlights monitoring it as a means of evaluating the act's effectiveness. In addition, ODF implements the Federal Clean Water Act in forestry, fill and removal laws, and other provisions associated with road construction, maintenance, water quality protection, and landslide and public safety standards. This work requires technical and policy expertise to help inform, develop, and implement rules, best management practices, and policy measures. This package provides a program manager to collaborate in the water quality partnership. Forestry will lead technical and policy discussions related to quantifying existing water quality and watershed improvements on forest lands and identify actions needed to achieve water quality and watershed goals. Forestry will also participate in cross-agency development of common methods and metrics. The investment also funds two specialists who will provide forest engineering and geotechnical expertise by conducting technical assessments, investigating landslides, road construction and maintenance, harvest plan, erosion, sediment, and hydrology. They will develop monitoring strategies to quantify existing improvements, gather and analyze monitoring data on rule implementation, and inform the need for new policy and regulations.
Any questions? Okay. Seeing none. Mr. Decker, this might be a good,
very good
opportunity to break for today with this item, and we do have a grant that we need to approve today. So I think you'll have adequate time tomorrow, and we'll have another actual bill tomorrow that's up for work session too. Obviously not your department's budget, right. But
excellent. So we'll come back with State Forest and our KPMs tomorrow.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. The next item on the agenda, and we're going to be waiting for LFO staff. Oh, we're not waiting very long.
They're watching the live.
And I guess this, we should have someone here with the Division of State Lands.
Yes, we do. Mary.
Mary's here.
Okay.
Director Abrams.
Okay. So let me see how we posted this. We posted this for work session, did we not? Yes. Okay. I will open a work session on a federal grant application for the Department of State Lands. Do you want to give a presentation?
I will introduce it by saying the Department of State Lands is requesting authorization to apply for grant project funding from the Environmental Protection Agency related to wetlands and aquatic resources management. The department, parenthetically, has been partnering with the EPA on wetlands issues since 1991, and Director Abrams is here to describe the grant.
Ms. Abrams.
Thank you, Chair Devlin, members of the committee. Good morning. For the record, my name is Mary Abrams, and I'm the director of the Department of State Lands. I'm here today to request approval to apply for a wetland program development grant from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency in an amount not to exceed $348,647, as well as a limitation with the understanding that it may be unscheduled until the EPA grant decision is made. This grant will help Oregon complete development of an objective, transparent, and science-based wetland and stream mitigation program. The program, which is known as the Aquatic Resources Mitigation Program, is a continuation of a joint effort between the department, other state agencies, as well as tribes, to develop a coordinated Oregon wetland program plan. This program plan is important for the state because it allows a clear, transparent, and predictable method for evaluating wetlands in terms of mitigation needs should development impact wetlands and or streams. The advantage of this part of the program is that we're building an integrated system that will assess, can be used to assess streams as well as wetlands, and makes the work of folks who are doing restoration or development that much more predictable and cost-effective. We're partnering in this program with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, the EPA, the Willamette Partnership, and the Oregon State University. In summary, the department would request permission to apply for a grant, a federal grant, and limitation not to exceed $348,647, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Are there any questions? Do you have anything to offer in addition?
Morning, Co-Chair Devlin, members of the committee. For the record, Dustin Ball at the Chief Financial Office, and we support the agency's request as well as LFO's recommendation.
Okay.
I just have one comment.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice to have a grant application by which the deadline to apply is actually in the future. And not
the joy of session.
Okay. Do we have a motion on the grant?
I need to make a recommendation.
Oh, make the recommendation. Oh.
The Legislative Fiscal Office recommends authorizing the agency to submit a federal grant application for up to $348,647 and including federal funds expenditure limitation of $133,000 in the 2015 close of session appropriation bill, with the understanding that the Department of Administrative Services Chief Financial Office will unschedule the limitation. And in the LFO write-up, there's some explanation for why there would be a recommendation to establish and a limitation prior to the grant actually being awarded. And the reason is that if the grant is awarded, the department needs to start working on it in October, and they do not have federal funds limitation. They will not have federal funds limitation in their 15-17 budget that they could borrow from until they actually came in for limitation in February of 16. If they get more than $133,000, then in February of 16, they can come and request the additional limitation.
Understood. Representative Klim?
Mr. Chair, I move the LFO recommendation.
Okay. The LFO recommendation has been moved. Is there any discussion of the motion? Is there any objection to the motion? Seeing none, motion carries.
Carrier.
Representative Gomberg?
Why not, Mr. Chair?
Okay. And you'll carry to the House also?
Sure.
Thank
you. It doesn't
go. Oh, that's right. It's been a, my morning started with a text message at 5:45, so.
In that case, I won't carry it to the floor.
Okay, so you'll carry it to the floor, since it's just a grant application. Okay, is there anything else for the good of anything that you'd like to offer,
no.
Madam
Thank
Director?
You very much for the time.
Okay. Well, motion has carried. I don't see anything else for business today. We are adjourned. Just to let you know, we do have a work session tomorrow, so we'll have good attendance tomorrow. The item that's up tomorrow is actually going to be on the full committee on Friday, so it's pretty important that it get out of committee tomorrow. Thank you.